From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, September 12th, 2025. Most Maine residents are once again eligible to receive COVID-19 vaccines under a change ordered by Governor Janet Mills. Last month, federal regulators changed the guidelines so that only those with a high-risk medical condition or those 65 or older would qualify for the latest COVID vaccines. On Friday, Mills directed the Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention to issue a, quote, standing order that will allow Mainers to receive COVID shots at pharmacies, clinics, and doctor's offices without first obtaining a prescription. In a related move, the Maine Bureau of Insurance notified health insurers on Friday that they are required to provide full coverage for COVID vaccines. Portland public school officials say the arrest of a parent near Talbot Elementary School Thursday by ICE agents has been, quote, traumatic for the entire school community. School board chair Sarah Lentz said at a press conference Friday that the officers were wearing vests that said police but refused to identify themselves to school staff. In a written statement, Department of Homeland Security Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin said ICE agents arrested Dennis Rivera Martinez, originally from Honduras. McLaughlin said Martinez had been arrested the day before by Portland police on domestic violence charges and that no children were present at the time of the ICE arrest. Still, Lentz says the arrest has sent a ripple of fear through the community.
This is the first one that has been so close to school during a school day and really impacting the environment in a different way.
Superintendent Ryan Scallon said in a letter to parents and staff that it comes at a time when many in the school community are increasingly worried about ICE activity in Portland. The First Circuit Court of Appeals is allowing the Trump administration to withhold Medicaid funding from Planned Parenthood, overturning a lower court ruling. Lisa Margiles with Planned Parenthood of Northern New England says the decision is a, quote, devastating blow, but vowed to fight on.
Patients across the country should have the right to visit their trusted Planned Parenthood provider for birth control, cancer screening, STI testing and treatment, gender-affirming care, and other essential health care.
Planned Parenthood in Maine is facing a $1 million cut, but Margiles says Planned Parenthood will continue to provide care for its roughly 2,000 patients who are covered by MaineCare, the state version of Medicaid. In a separate lawsuit, another reproductive health provider, Maine Family Planning, is challenging the loss of nearly $2 million in federal Medicaid funding. Federal regulators have ordered the Brunswick Executive Airport to remove all toxic firefighting foam from its hangars after a chemical spill last year. But Dan Stevenson from the Midcoast Regional Redevelopment Authority says the agency has already removed the foam. Now he says it's planning to clean or replace contaminated fire suppression systems.
We're already making strides to get this done. So even when the plan goes in, some of those boxes that they would like to see checked will already have been checked.
The Redevelopment Authority has to submit its cleanup plan by the end of the year. The agreement with the Environmental Protection Agency resolves violations of the Clean Water Act from a spill of nearly 1,500 gallons of firefighting foam at the airport last August. 20 Maine organizations are urging Republican Senator Susan Collins to withdraw her support for Maine Attorney Joshua Dunlap to serve on the First Circuit Court of Appeals. Planned Parenthood, Equality Maine, and the Maine Women's Lobby are among the groups who say Dunlap has a record of opposing reproductive, civil, and consumer rights. Lily James is a spokesperson for the Maine Women's Lobby.
We are gravely concerned that if confirmed by the Senate, Mr. Dunlap will become yet another judge who uses his position to take the side of banks, insurance companies, and other corporations.
The groups also note that Dunlap interned at the Alliance for Defending Freedom, a Christian legal advocacy firm that the Southern Poverty Law Center has designated as a hate group. A spokesperson for Senator Collins says the groups are misleading Mainers on Dunlap's record and noted that the nonpartisan American Bar Association gave Dunlap a unanimous, well-qualified rating. Residents of Friendly Village Mobile Home Park in Gorham say they're abandoning their efforts to purchase their community for now after their cooperative submitted three different offers and all were rejected. Nicola Grisco reports.
In May, the park's residents offered just over the proposed purchase price of $22 million for the community, which has more than 300 lots. Friendly Village Cooperative President Don Bollier says 5 weeks later, the residents learned their initial offer had been rejected And recently, Bollier says a third resident offer of more than $27 million was rejected, and that they were informed the owners would not consider an offer for less than $29 million.
That's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's something that we as residents can't afford.
Through an attorney, park owner Maine Mobile Homes Limited said it has previously received offers for Friendly Village that have exceeded the initial sales price, and that current law does not require the owners to accept an offer from a resident cooperative. A new law that would give Maine Mobile Home residents the right of first refusal to purchase their park doesn't go into effect until later this month, and it doesn't apply to the Gorham residents. Meantime, Bollier says the residents are upset and afraid because a Wyoming-based investor has offered to purchase Friendly Village as part of a portfolio with seven other parks in other states. She says the residents are asking the town of Gorham to consider a new ordinance that might protect them from future lot rent increases. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
In the wake of the fatal shooting of Charlie Kirk on Wednesday in Utah, members of Maine's Turning Point USA chapters and their allies are hosting events to honor their founder and grappling with what the loss means for their movement. Nora Sachs has more.
19-year-old Christina Parker is the president of the Turning Point USA Kennebec County Activism Hub, which promotes conservative values among high school and college-age youth.
I think everyone has a bit of an ache in their heart or in their gut the last couple days. And I don't think America will be the same.
She says Maine has about 5 Turning Point USA chapters, each with 10 to 15 active members, and that recently the movement has been growing across the state. Parker is organizing a prayer vigil tonight in Capitol Park in Augusta called Honor for Charlie. Other events are scheduled in Portland and Bangor. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
The handler of Baxter, the state's first comfort dog that died in an overheated state vehicle in May, has been charged with animal cruelty. Carol Bousquet has more.
In a statement issued Friday, the Maine Department of Public Safety says that Brody Hinckley has been charged for leaving Baxter in a state vehicle outside the Bangor Regional Communications Center on a warm day. The vehicle, which was left running, malfunctioned, shutting down the air conditioning system. Baxter was a 3-year-old chocolate lab whose mission was to comfort first-line responders in Maine's 3 emergency communication centers. An investigation into the dog's death by the Animal Welfare Program of the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry led the Penobscot County District Attorney to issue a civil summons for animal cruelty to Hinckley, who is on administrative leave as the state's emergency communications director. A court date has been set for November 6th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
While parts of Maine saw some rain last weekend, drought conditions are still pretty bad across the state. Most of Maine has received only about half its usual rainfall this summer, and it's hurting some of the state's most important crops, from apples to potatoes to wild blueberries. But the biggest challenge may be for farmers who grow hay to feed their livestock. Michael Livingston takes us to the pasture.
As farmer Andy Smith walks past his youngest cows, they let him know they want to be fed. Smith grows his own hay to feed the nearly 100 cows on his 250-acre farm in Monmouth. This year, he notes, the grass is short and sparse.
To the untrained eye, this looks very like, oh, look, there's all kinds of stuff out there, you know, but like this really needs to grow for at least 3 or 4 weeks before we can graze or harvest it.
At Balfour Farms in Pittsfield, Doug Donahue's cows are chewing on just a couple inches of grass on their pasture.
In a normal year, there would be knee-high grass right here at the moment, and they'd be eating nothing but grass, but not this year.
Normally, Donahue would section off 1-acre parcels for grazing. On this day, he's opened all 12 acres, and he spread piles of reserve hay he had stored for the winter in case the fresh grass is all eaten up. The hay crop in Maine has suffered due to drought. In a typical summer, the state sees between 6 to 12 inches of rain, a few inches less along the coast. This year, the rainfall has been less than half that amount, and agriculture officials say Maine just isn't well equipped to handle drought.
But we have, definitely some concerns about where this is all going to go.
Tom Gordon is the Soil and Water Conservation Program Coordinator with the State Agriculture Department. He says of the 445,000 acres in Maine dedicated to growing crops, fewer than 10% are irrigated. The rest rely on natural rainfall.
This water deficit causes a great deal of stress to the plants, and that can have ongoing impacts in terms of their ability to uptake nutrients as well as water.
Gordon says irrigation systems are expensive and out of reach for most farmers. They often involve drilling wells or installing storage ponds and investing in large-scale equipment to spray water over fields. This year, the state rolled out a $1.3 million Farmers Drought Relief Fund to help defray some of those costs. The state says it received 28 applications and awarded 24 grants. Gordon says he expects the program to grow next year. In the meantime, some farmers are scrambling for enough hay to keep their herds fed. Andy Smith says he paid $15,000 for 2 tractor loads from New York last week, and he says he might have to buy more if he can find any.
I've been talking to several other organic dairy producers, and we can't find, you know, large quantities of feed anywhere. It seems like every time, you know, someone gets mentioned somewhere that there might be feed available, I mean, it just disappears immediately.
And Doug Donahue says he's considered installing an irrigation system, despite the considerable costs. He says the state funding could help with that.
You know, there's a lot of things you can work around, whether it's financial or logistics of moving product or whatever the case may be, but there's not much you can do when it stops raining.
The state's Tom Gordon says there are no official data on crop losses from drought in a given year. But he says Maine is working with the U.S. Department of Agriculture to possibly provide federal relief for farmers who have experienced losses. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.